Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The specialists are back, and I am here. I am back after taking last week off, and I'm ready to recap episode number 4 of the Amazing Race 36. Amazing Race 36 would have been my nightmare scenario. There is not a season that I would have hated more than being a part of this. Everything is heights. I would not have climbed the stairs to the top of that mountain. I don't know what the penalty is for that. Now I'm talking about episode 3. I don't know what the penalty is for that, but whatever the penalty is, I would have gotten, because I would not have climbed those stairs. There is a 0% chance I would have done that. I don't know how Sean, who has a crippling fear of heights, eventually ended up getting up there. Good for him. He's a bigger man than I, but my goodness. And then they start this episode by paragliding in to start off their leg. What a mess. What an absolute mess.
No. So much fun. Exhilarating. Awful. When are you ever going to get this chance again?
Hopefully never. That's like people who are like, you know, like when you go to an international country, it's like, you got to eat this cuisine. And then it's always the most disgusting cuisine. I remember I have a friend who was like, I eat blood pudding when I was in London. And we were with a bunch of people from London. They're like, we've never even had blood pudding. Why would you eat that? That's stupid. Like, nobody actually eats that. And it's, well, when was I going to get the chance to do that again? It's like, well, some things you don't need the chance to do even once. That's the way you need to look at some things. And that's how I feel about paragliding, hang gliding, jumping out of an airplane. That's how I feel about all of those things. I don't need to do them once. That's fine. I'll do them 0 times and be totally content with that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what I don't know if you would get some flack for that from Phil on the mat, or like what you could do to avoid it, or penalty of some kind. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's just like, all right, you got to do this to run this leg of the race.
You don't have a choice. All right, cool. Well, Phil, this is gonna be a real shit episode for you guys, because yeah. I'm not doing it. Maybe that's right there. That was essentially my don't cast me tape for the Amazing Race. Are you willing to try crazy things that are outside your comfort zone? No.
No.
Certain things, but not that. Heights are the one thing, man. That's a crippling one. And I felt him when he was doing, it was in episode 3 where he was trying to come down the steps with the cocoa beans. I felt that so bad. There's been so many times where I'm like, I don't know if I can pick up one leg and put it in front of the other. I don't know what's happening. So good for him, though. I actually did get to meet them last night. And then what do? They turn around and they get eliminated. So like, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, you aerobics acrobatic instructors.
Jump ropers.
What were they actually going by, though? On their
I don't know what team it's
like, Dutch something or something like that. What do they go by? I have to look. Anyway, so I got to meet them last night. That was great. Again, you know, I've talked about it a lot, and somebody actually commented on the on the Survivor recap last night being like, did you know Phil went to an event last night? Well, I did, and I enjoyed it. And I got to meet, unfortunately, the eliminated team from this week, which I don't know why you'd be watching this if you haven't watched. I don't know why you'd be watching this if you haven't watched the episode. So Michelle and Sean, I did get to meet Michelle and Sean. They were very nice. It was very nice to meet them. I didn't know they were going to be there, so that was really fun. And they turn around and they get eliminated, and that was kind of a bummer. But we're going to dive into this episode. We're going to talk all about it. If you're here, like this video, subscribe to the channel. I told people that we were close to 10,500 last night, and we got like 30 subscribers just from our Survivor recap video. Why isn't that happening every time? Where are you all at? So come on, if you're not subscribed and you're listening religiously, even if you're listening over on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, come on over to YouTube and subscribe to the channel. That just helps us out. And it allows us to get in front of people's faces. So while we keep doing these Survivor Connections things, which are really taking off and seem like they're a big deal, that'll be good. So anyway, here we go. Let's dive in.
Yes.
The brothers are gone. What did you and Celestina think about the brothers being eliminated anyway? We both knew that they were short for this game. But I don't know if I knew they were that short for this game.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was very sad because I love them as a team, just like goofing around. They brought a levity to the season because you know they're just gonna be having fun bumbling around the challenges. So it was very sad that they left. I was heartbroken.
Yeah, it was a bummer. It was a bummer. And that was surprising to me that it was so quick. And they kept jumping back and forth between the detours. And we'll talk about the detours tonight from last night's episode, which were interesting. They just got overwhelmed by it. Eventually, you just have to say, screw it, we're going to figure it out. And what I always say with The Amazing Race, at least from the seasons I've watched, Derek said it tonight, C's get degrees. You're looking for A's. Just get the degree. It does not matter. Yeah. You just got to do enough. And The Amazing Race isn't going to be overly picky because people are never going to be able to accomplish this stuff in a professional manner. Watching Sunny and Busy tonight do the break dancing, they didn't even look close and they were getting the approval. So, you know, we'll talk about it. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there as people sometimes forget that. And the brothers just got hung up on it. So they're gone. So we start off this episode. And the first thing was the detour.
Mm-hmm.
These detours were not created equal. I don't know if you feel that way, but they were not created equal. Do you understand what I'm saying by this?
Yes. I feel like the dance detour or roadblock is like very big in The Amazing Race, and roadblock is unavoidable. But the dance detour, in my opinion, you never do. And if you want to hear more about dance detours, so become a patron, because that is our route info over there. So Saturday, route info is dropping. But the dance detour is just, I feel like, the death, which it didn't seem like that bad for this one because it was breakdancing and not more of a traditional dance.
Yeah.
It was able to have a little bit more freestyle and body movement. Then there was just rebus puzzles, and I was like, this is so easy. You get to just walk along. Now, I guess, you know, if you're not interpreting the rebus puzzles right.
Such as Thome. Thome, T-H, that's Ohm. I don't even know. I mean, they just could not. We'll get into how Sonny get that. But yeah, this was, and I think what bothered me the most with the rebus puzzle was you said it wrong. You didn't have to go back and do anything. You could just keep guessing at the guy. Which I thought was crazy, because if you do the dance thing, you do it wrong. It's not like they just immediately start you back up again. It's okay. What do we do wrong? We got to figure it out. We got to do this. And we see The Amazing Race do this all the time. Even when it was the roadblock where they were jumping through the lasso, every team that jumped through the lasso, they had to wait until all the other teams went. So there was a penalty every time you missed. There was no penalty in this. And Caesar and Ricky, who end up winning the leg for the second time in a row, they just stood there and kept saying like all the different iterations they thought it was, and eventually got it right. So they got it. That seemed crazy quick. You could get this in one go, where the breakdancing, even if you got it in one go, was going to take you at least 10 to 15 minutes. Probably close to an hour.
Learn the dance too. Mm-hmm. So it was very, they were two very different detours. And I do think the rebus puzzle, you should have had to at least like go through it again, go through like the walls and like look at the images again before you guessed. But if you're Sunny and Busy, it almost doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, because I guess that's the thing with a rebus puzzle is if you don't get it,
you're screwed. You
don't get it. Your brain's not necessarily going to wake up to what is going on. If you're not getting it, if you're not seeing it, they did not understand the mirror clue meant you. And that's what was killing them. The world is smaller than you think. Mm-hmm. And they could not figure out that the mirror meant you. And so that was very interesting to me how much they struggled with that. And eventually gets to the point where you're saying things that are so close and they're telling you no, that you're not even thinking, oh, well, maybe we're just missing one word in this. It gets to the point where you say, we just have to go do the other thing. And they were very lucky that, in my opinion, this might be one of the hardest roadblocks I've ever seen. Because I haven't watched that many seasons, so I want people to understand that. But in terms of the roadblocks I have seen, this felt like it was one of the hardest ones I've seen, because the orientation of this threw everybody off so much. And if you never figured out that orientation, you were never going to get this. You see it with Michelle and Sean. I almost guarantee you they were there almost 2 hours longer than every single other team. Because it was nighttime when they got done.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like with these detours, it also, even if they are unbalanced, you have to try and make that educated decision. It is all about, you know, your decisions in the game as well as like what the actual task is too. So like you got to add a little bit of strategy within the race.
Yeah. And so if you ever get a rebus puzzle, you're just doing that every single time.
I feel like I would do the rebus puzzle. It almost, you know, was like Survivor 41 with the game within the game. They always had rebus puzzles hidden around. And I think I could catch on to them enough where like, if I did have a partner who was helping me out with it, like we could get there because I got there within the episode.
Yeah, I feel like, especially when you're doing it with a partner, somebody's going to say, wait, we got this word wrong, or you said that wrong, or you said this stupid. So yeah, the dance things, what always bothers me with the dance things is that you have to learn it, you have to learn the dance, but you also have to have a little bit of rhythm. And even if you have a lot of rhythm, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to learn this correctly, because then you also have to pair up and do it together.
Yep.
I was really shocked that Sunny and Busy survived this episode, but again, it comes down to the roadblock, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I was really shocked that they survived this episode, switching from the super short one to the one that was meant to delay teams.
Yeah, and also what was interesting about this one is it was a group learn and not just an individual coach.
Yep.
Because a lot of times with a dance challenge, it'll be like someone teaching you off to the side. But it was like group dance class here. You got to like learn. If you came in the middle of a lesson, you just got to hop in. You know, it wasn't as structured as some other challenges are either.
Is this because of COVID, do you think? Or no, like, do you think that this had something to do with that, where the restrictions, they wanted it where everybody was just in, I mean, it sounds counterintuitive, but everybody was in a group rather than breaking them off and making sure they had enough people who could teach the dance. Cause if somebody gets sick on that day with COVID testing, they test positive for COVID. Now you're one or two or three people short in terms of instructors. What do you do?
Yeah, exactly. You bank on other people doing it, or say, hey, there's a limit of seven. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think they wanted to limit that one, though. I think they wanted more people to go to that one than even did. I was just shocked. I mean, you've watched more Amazing Race than me. Are they ever this much of a disparity between the two detours? I mean, this felt like one could take you 5 minutes and the other could take you 2.5 hours.
I think it's also due to COVID. I feel like they, with this season, I feel like the challenges and the detours and stuff are a lot different than they were last season, because they're more restricted. So like they're keeping them to like similar areas instead of, all right, go to your detour. One is left and one is right.
Yeah. No, I get that. Let's talk about the roadblock though. So we talked about the detour enough. We both would have done the rebus puzzle. I think we figured it out in seconds. I don't think Andy Vogel watches The Amazing Race. If he does, just tell us in here how easy that would have been for you. Because we all want to know. You don't tell us enough. So please get in here and tell us. So what really got me with this roadblock was all of the extra pegs on that board made this so hard. Not only was the orientation and figuring that out hard, you also had so many extra pegs that were actually close to each other in terms of where they were on the map. Like on the one when Rod got it wrong and Juan or Shane, I forget which one did the thing, but when Rod got it wrong, he was off by one spot and Shane had gotten it. They were working together. They're doing the whole puzzle together.
Yeah.
That's really hard if you're not being able to work with anybody like the cousins, like the cousins weren't, and like the aerobic instructors weren't, and Sunny and Busy. I mean, they just had a good strategy, whichever one of them ended up doing it, because here I am, you know, I'm not going to be able to separate the two of the same sex teams. I always am just like, yeah, sure. They're 1A and 1B, whatever. This was so hard. Am I exaggerating this? Did you find this to be hard, or you think I'm being a baby?
I thought, I guess once you got the orientation, you're good. But I feel like, you know, they didn't have a "you are here" sign on the map. So I would do what the first couple teams started to do, was like try and orient myself. Where are these things on the map so I can know where to put these statues? Because after that, I think it's just the amount you can memorize and how many trips you have to take out to place these blocks in.
Yeah. I don't even think that these people, like some of these people weren't even thinking about it. And you saw that with quite a few teams. I mean, for the longest time, they would show the map for the team after they placed all the things. And it was just every single thing was an X, every single one of them. And I just think it was, if your mind wasn't going to there, I don't know what would have triggered your mind to say, oh crap, I got to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I thought this seemed like a fun one to do because it seems simple in theory, but maybe not in practice. Like with everything happening around you, you don't know, you know, what is up, what is down, north, south, all that.
Yeah. And then they all were thinking, it seemed like the teams that really struggled were under the assumption that the museum was the building that was right in front of them. And the museum was not the building that was right in front of them. The museum was actually further over. I just feel like this was a tough one. I really do. I feel like this was a hard one when I just think when you're looking at all of the tricks, normally I feel like the Amazing Race on a roadblock will have one thing that is meant to trip you up. I feel like this had three. You had not only the extra pegs, you had the weird orientation, and you had it where the gigantic building that you were looking at on your map was not the gigantic building that was directly in front of you. So that just really, I felt like there was a lot of trick in this, which I'm fine with. I just was surprised. And like, you know, I felt for Michelle because she just could not, she's like, I know I'm doing this right. And she could not figure out that she had to essentially turn her board 90 degrees and then she would have been fine. And I wonder, because obviously they weren't going to show it to us, you know, as the Amazing Race does, it struggles to the finish line every single episode because you're like, okay, why are there still 4 minutes left of this episode? Although this one had a great ending. I wonder when she finally figured this out and how long it truly took her. Cause we did not get that shot. I would love to know the answer to that question.
Yeah, exactly. Like I would love to know timing on things, but at the same time, it does like spoil hardcore, like how everybody is doing in the race. Like once Sunny and Busy came to the roadblock, like how long were they there compared to the other people? Like it would have been nice to know that, but then it is very spoilery.
It is. But I feel like I would have liked at the end, because we all knew that Michelle and Sean were finishing last. I would have just liked if they would have said, okay, here's what finally clicked in her head. Give us that aha moment. Was it literally, guys, the other team already finished, here's what you're doing wrong. Did they do that? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Especially with the COVID restrictions, you can only have cameramen and stuff for so many hours. You might not have as many cameramen working. I don't know. I just wonder that if they would have just said to them, hey, you didn't do it, you're done, get out of here.
Yeah, right. I also thought it was very interesting with Amber and Vinny and Danny and Angie. They helped each other. Going back to one of the older episodes where Danny and Angie helped out Amber and Vinny, they were paid the favor here in helping them orient themselves so Danny could finish this roadblock in no time. And they like shot up in the leaderboard.
Yeah, they finished, what, third place on this one?
Mm-hmm.
So hang on, I want to pull this up because I want to have the placements in front of me from this week as we talk about this, because it's a great point. So Amber and Vinny were second. Angie and Danny were third. Rod and Leticia mm-hmm. were fourth. Juan and Shane were fifth. Rod and Leticia, Juan and Shane worked together. Amber mm-hmm. and Vinny showed Angie and Danny how to make it work while Ricky and Caesar ran away. Ricky right. and Caesar finished second, second, first, first. Mm-hmm. They're doing great. They're feeling good about themselves. They're on cloud nine. What we are seeing, though, I think, is the storyline of why they're going to lose. And the reason they're going to lose is because their competitors, their best teams, the teams that have the chance to beat them on any given day,
mm-hmm.
are working together and building relationships. And if Ricky and Caesar get into a situation where they can't figure something out, they have nobody who is willing to stick their neck out for them. It's not going to happen. Because the Danny and Angie thing was great, because guess what? If you're Amber and Vinny, you've gone from 12th to 7th, and now you finish 2nd twice in a row. Angie yeah. and Danny were 7th, 6th, 9th, and 3rd. You know you're beating Angie and Danny 90% of the legs 100%. Of the race. Great team to align with. If you Rod and Leticia and Juan and Shane, you all have been top 5 every time. That's a little bit trickier, but I mm-hmm. understand why you're doing it. But Ricky and Caesar now they have 3 teams behind them, and I'm not including Angie and Danny here,
yeah.
who legitimately can beat them on any given day, and yeah. they have alliances and Ricky and Caesar don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot of people also are somewhat peeved by Ricky and Caesar too, because they like didn't help them or like are just running their own race, when sometimes it is beneficial for your game to help people out.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, am I reading too much into this, or do you think it will end up biting them, or you think they're just good enough that they're going to win?
I don't know. I think they could get got on one of these episodes coming up. Not soon. I think we're going to get one, get the duds kind of at, well, not duds, but like wow. the lower.
Okay.
Base.
Who you want to call duds, in case they're listening, McKenna? Who do you want to point?
No, I am not doing that. Not
I'll put
doing
their
that.
Pictures on screen as you do.
Absolutely
it.
Not. The lower place teams. Well, I thought Danny and Angie weren't going to be long for the game, but like they shot up. So you know what? Anything can happen in the race. But I think once a good chunk of teams can leave the game, I think then we see Ricky and Cesar just get like a bad leg and are out. I don't think they make the finale.
And I know that I keep saying Caesar, but I think Derek kept calling him Caesar, and somebody else called him Caesar last week. And I know it is, I think it's Caesar, but I'm just sorry. I'm butchering it, but I'm doing it because others. So McKenna, you can yell at me immediately after I finish my sentence, but it kind of seems like the all female pairings are in a little bit of trouble over the next 3 weeks.
100%. I do think that as well. I mean, Kishori and Karishma have consistently been in the bottom. Same with Sunny and Busy. And Yovan and Melissa have been floating in the middle. But as soon as like some people get out, they are right now toward the back of the pack. So mm-hmm. like typically female teams, it's hard for them to do well.
How many female paired teams have won the Amazing Race?
Not many.
Okay.
Like, I'd say under 10 by a lot.
I'm going to look real quick. I'm going to see if it's a quick Google. Only this was after 29 seasons. Only 3 had won.
Yeah. It's like real hard for female teams to do well. And I really thought Sunny and Busy could do it, because I feel like they're like firefighters. They're tough. They're like used to carrying a lot of stuff, where like that's mm-hmm. where some of the female teams lack, is like in brute strength, where Sunny and Busy I feel could do those brute strength detours or roadblocks.
But as we saw tonight, unfortunately, and being nice, what they have in strength they lack in brain. And I mean that like they could not figure out that puzzle. And you know what? If their strength is going to be strength, it's going to be physical strength. Mm-hmm. Good for them. That'll get them through some legs. But when I look at the placements, Kishori and Karishma went 10th, 10th, 8th, and 9th. The only team that they've beaten who is still in the race is Angie and Danny. That's the only team they've beaten that's still in the race. And guess what? Angie and Danny are now paired up with one of the strongest teams on the entire race.
Yeah.
I think that they're in trouble. And I guess Kishore and Karishma did beat Amber and Vinny in the first leg. But that first leg, Amber and Vinny just got entirely lost. And then they ended up being fine. And now they're really starting to show their strength. So I feel like they're pretty much screwed. I feel like Kishore and Karishma are probably the team we see get booted next week.
Yeah.
I will say that I think Yvonne and Melissa and Sunny and Busy have a little bit better of a chance, but still highest placement for Yvonne and Melissa is fifth. Highest placement for Sunny and Busy is seventh. It's not the most exciting. We're getting
close to those.
Yeah.
Those placements. I think the fall for Derek and Shalissa this round, they've been constantly in third and they were talking about like, let's keep things constant. And then they fall all the way to sixth, I think is a big hit for them.
It doesn't worry me too much because when I look at who was ahead of them, it was the pairs. And that's I think good. Derek and Shalissa, they might not have a clear alliance right now, but I don't think anybody has a problem with them. Mm-hmm. And so even though they dropped to sixth, they would have beaten Danny and Angie had they not been helped by Amber and Vinny. True. I think they probably beat Rod and Leticia and Juan and Shane both if the two of them don't work together and do the roadblock together. So I think that Derek and Shalissa are fine. They need to work on their social a little bit. I also just get I crack up over the two of them because what's really funny with the two of them is how much of an old couple they are, where they argue and sometimes they say things where, you know, everything's so sugarcoated because of social media, people being scared of being canceled and stuff. They'll say things to each other where I'm like, damn, that's just flat out mean. But then they start laughing immediately. And you can tell that this is just the way they've communicated their entire life. Like, this is just how it is. They don't take things personally. They know what is going too far and what isn't with each other. And you really see that because as some of the things they say where it's like, you got to be doing this or, you know, I forget what it was in the cooking challenge, but it was so nasty. But it just immediately turns into a smile. So I think that's going to work in their favor. And again, I know they finished third 3 in a row. If I'm one of these stronger teams, though, I'm saying let's keep the grandparents around. It's a long race. Eventually, they're going to get tired. Maybe they won't, but that's what's at least going through my head.
Yeah, I mean, that is smart. And I do think they will last a bit longer. And they might be that finale dark horse team.
Yeah. Yeah. Where if everything can go their way, they can figure this out and they can pull out the victory. Which team have we not talked about much? Rod and Leticia, they went first, then fifth, now fourth. And the only reason they beat Juan and Shane, which is annoying because Juan and Shane would have been fourth for all four legs. The only reason they beat him is because they just found Phil faster, but it was, you know, a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about Rod and Leticia? Do you think that they're going to be able to keep this up or do you think that they are going to implode at some point?
I like them as a team. I think they work very well together. I think we might see them in fourth overall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think they get cut right before the finale.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that for sure. As like the surprise one, or they go into the last leg and they've won a bunch of legs or they've been near the top or whatever. They kind of remind me of, and again, this is how limited I watch, whatever Marcus Pollard and his wife's team. And maybe that's just because it's football player with wife, but it does remind me of that where like they were always good. And I know Rod and Leticia already won 2 legs, but to me, they don't feel like legitimate contenders to win the whole thing, even if they're running near the top the entire time.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're good and they're concise in their decisions. They're not lollygagging a lot. They have very
good word.
Very clear communication. So I think that's one thing that they have up on a good chunk of teams.
Yeah. Fantasy Answers says, make sure to thumbs up if you're here. Yes. If you made it this far, please like the video. I mean, at this point, you've already made it this far. Why would you not like the video? You clearly like it. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel and you're listening, you've made it this far, please get over and subscribe to the channel. As of live right now, we're at 10,495. That's 706 on Thursday, April 4th. So come on. Let's just keep, let's keep growing. Come on. I want to hit 10,500 so that then I can start bothering you all to hit 11,000. But anyway, so Ricky and Caesar, second, first. Amber and Vinny, 12th, 7th, second. Angie and Danny, as we said, that kind of feels like an outlier what happened this week. So if we're kind of saying Yvonne and Melissa, Sunny and Busy, Kishore and Karishma, Angie and Danny, those teams don't have much of a chance. Who are you putting as the favorite amongst those other teams?
I think Danny and Angie will probably get the most help because they are looked at probably as the weakest, because as we heard from Angie, Danny, hold up, I can't run.
Mm-hmm. She said that numerous times on the race.
Yeah. So I feel like they're going to have the most help, which could hurt another team because they are getting help. So it could hurt someone who is like maybe more capable in the challenges, like Yvonne and Melissa, to fall behind the line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could see that. No, I do agree with you on that. That is a very good point. But I'm asking winner, who's your winner? Like, who are you seeing as the best team? And Ice X here says, I can't remember a season when the roadblocks and detours were so much fun to watch. So that's good. Look at that. They just had to wait 2 years or whatever the hell it was to actually put this season on. But who are you looking at as that top team? Because Danny and Angie, I agree with you. They could be a team that almost makes the finale because they're being dragged along.
Yeah.
But if I was to say to you, McKenna, out of these nine teams, you have to bet on somebody to win right now. Who are you going with? Are you going with the team that's consistently at the top, or are you looking a little bit further down?
I might go with Juan and Shane because they could just hit a stride, because, you know, the Amazing Race does have a learning curve, and I feel like they're starting to learn the curve, and they are constantly at fourth and dropped to fifth this time, but are making strides in like who they're working with and completing detours and roadblocks relatively fast. So I think my bet might be on them.
Yeah, I look at Ricky and Caesar though, and so you can see the upcoming legs. It's already on Wikipedia and everything. So they just did Colombia. They're going to Chile, Argentina, Barbados, Dominican Republic. They end in Philly. And I think they're going to Uruguay too. So all Spanish speaking countries. That really works in their favor. And I think Juan and Shane too, because Juan is the one who was born in Colombia. So he has a little bit of that background too. This season very much favors teams that can speak Spanish. So yeah. I think Ricky and Caesar might actually be a team. But what's like the most dominant team in Amazing Race history?
You
had no one off the top of your head?
I don't know one. Well, I mean, we talked about them the last time, but like the father and son who had to leave because of the leg injury or whatever. They were consistently top of the pack. Yeah,
Dave and Connor, they won 8 legs on the season that they won.
That would be like one of the strongest teams.
Rachel and Dave, I remember that one. That was what, season 2 or 3? I remember that one. Oh, no, that was the Amazing Race 20. So that was when I was watching in college. That's why it felt so good. That's why it was so clear in my head. I don't remember. I remember Tyler and Corey, but I don't know why. I guess I watched that season 2.
That's the one with the YouTubers. Like it was like social media stars. And they also were in the one with Rupert and Brett and Chris.
There you go.
Because they were the Amazing Race side of.
Gotcha. Gotcha, 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 gotcha. And then Colin and Christy. That's the one that probably stands out the most to me.
Yeah.
So anyway. I just wanted to look that up and kind of see, but I feel like they could just dominate this. This is set up for them. Yeah. And I think, like, you know, obviously I understand that it was COVID, so that you had some limitations, you had some restrictions, but it does feel to me like, wow, this is really, really, you're not going out too far into the world. Yeah. So this is really favoring one group or two groups over the rest. I mean, what if you're a great Portuguese speaker? They don't even go to Brazil here. So you can't even use that.
Yeah, I feel like the Asian countries are typically the biggest equalizer for teams too, absolutely. Where like it's a lot of mad scrambles trying to interpret where to go, because even me who has high school Spanish, I can try and like translate a sign, like the sign is somewhat similar to something I can read, unlike, you know, the Asian countries.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 exactly. And there is nothing more jarring than when you get somewhere where it's not even like the same characters. It's not the same alphabet. It is jarring as anything. Did we miss anything on this episode?
Just that Ricky and Cesar each have $2,500, but
that does nothing for me. Yeah, that's always one of those where it's like, Will, as Will says now, when we do Deal or No Deal Island, okay, great, who cares?
Well, happy for them, I guess.
Yeah, good for them. What is it? I always love money or something like that.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You know, I'll be a little bit more consistent now. I think we'll be back here again next Thursday, mm-hmm. same time, same place. As McKenna already hinted, if you want to become a patron, she's doing Root Info with Celestina, who did episode number 3's recap. So mm-hmm. let us know who you think is going to win. Is it just going to be that easy? Is Cesar and Ricky just going to dominate this thing from start to finish? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, now that I know they're all.
Yeah, they're all in Spanish-speaking countries. So anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. And yeah, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.